Thomas Mikaitis is an author, history professor at DePaul University. We frequently talk to him about security issues, terrorism issues. And he had an interesting perspective, I thought, when asked by the news people yesterday and early this morning about this shooting in Texas. Tom, thanks for joining us again on WGN.
Happy to do it.
The U.S. compared to other countries was the soundbite that I was thinking about. Can you relate that to us a little bit? And then I'll ask you if it really is apples to apples. But first, compare the U.S. to other countries.
Well, we've already had 27 school shootings this year alone in the United States. In the past decade, Canada's had something like two. In about the same period of time, Britain hasn't had any. France has had two. Germany's had one. The Netherlands hasn't had any. You know, they have mentally ill people. They have people who are unstable. They have all the social problems we do. The one thing that they have that we don't are really stringent gun control laws. And I'm afraid that, you know, anything short of that is really not going to address this problem. Everybody wants better mental health. I'm in favor of that. Everybody wants security in schools. That's also a good idea. But it isn't a substitute for responsible gun laws. And that doesn't mean taking away someone's, you know, hunting rifle. It means keeping assault rifles and high-capacity magazine handguns out of the hands, like this young man who committed this horrible massacre yesterday.
And who did buy the gun legally. He was 18 and was able to buy it in Texas, and so that day he went and bought two guns. But I wonder, since we already have more guns than we do people in this country, if that observation by you carries much weight. I mean, the guns are there, and there's an appetite for them. There's a culture in this country that is different.
You're right. The guns are already there, but, something like over 300 million, but many of them are concentrated in relatively few hands. And the fact remains that the two most recent shootings were perpetrated by people who had recently bought the firearms they used, the one in Buffalo and the one in Texas yesterday. Same situation with Omar Mateen and the Pulse nightclub shooting. It's truly amazing that you can go across the ideological spectrum from white supremacy to Islamist extremism and throw in people who were just disturbed young men, who are, that's typically the profile, and the patterns are so remarkably the same. It can have a difference, and it certainly can reduce the likelihood. I mean, nothing is perfect. Nothing is going to be a solution, a complete solution. But we have to take some steps in the right direction.
If guns in this country are coming out of a spigot, it seems to me like HR 8 turns it a little bit, but it doesn't turn it off. People would still have guns, and yet we can't even get HR 8 up for a vote on the Senate floor.
No, and the amazing thing is there's widespread support among the American populace for, as I said, reasonable measures like universal background checks, databases, sharing information between states, red flag laws to prevent somebody who has been diagnosed as having difficulties or has a criminal background from purchasing a gun and so on. But the problem is we've so enshrined states' rights on these issues that the regulation is just not effective, not universal, and in many states, including Texas, where it's now an open carry without a permit state, they're very lax.
Bill O'Reilly, after the 2017 mass shooting at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, remember, a gunman from that hotel killed 60 and injured 411 others. We've already forgotten about that. Bill O'Reilly said this, that mass shootings are the price of freedom that we pay, that as long as we want to have guns and that's important to us, this is what is also going to happen. What's your comment to that?
Well, my comment is that is to go tell that to the parents of the Sandy Hook victims or the victims of the massacre in Texas or Parkland, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's extremely easy and, pardon me, but extremely offensive to hear someone say that when they have no one whom they have lost. And if we measure our freedom in terms of the ability to own a firearm and put that above the lives and safety of our children. What about their rights to go to school securely and safely and to grow up to live normal, happy, and prosperous lives?
Sure. But that measure of freedom is written into the Constitution. I'm going to read you the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Culturally, yes, we've interpreted that different ways over the years, but that's where this argument hangs, Tom.
Absolutely right, and I'll be quite honest with you. I'm a Revolutionary War reenactor. I own a a replica Brown Dust musket. It takes 30 seconds to a minute to load, misfires 20% of the time, and has an accurate range of 50 yards and weighs 10 pounds. Nobody's going to sneak it into a crowd and produce mass murder. You can't take something written in the age of the musket and apply it to the age of the AR-15. And the other thing that gun rights advocates always leave out of the discussion is the first clause of what you just read, a well-regulated militia. The right to bear arms was always connected to the obligation to serve in a regulated militia.
I understand
that.
Do you agree with Steve Kerr then that this isn't about the Constitution, it's about the incumbency of certain politicians?
Absolutely. I think the Constitution has to be interpreted within the context of the times. The technology today is vastly different. And when you have politicians more beholden to the National Rifle Association, and beyond that, the gun manufacturing lobby, even when the majority of Americans favor many of these regulations like background checks, nobody's insisting on taking away, your hunting weapon. I mean, Canada has a strong hunting culture. But the shooting that took place at the War Memorial a number of years ago, only had a couple of victims because you have single shot bolt action rifles or things of that nature with limited magazine capacity that don't allow the kind of firepower that we're giving to an 18-year-old kid.
Tom Mikaitis from DePaul University, history professor. We got to go, Tom, but I think what's also equally intractable is the issue of mental health, and that may be the trigger for all of this, right? I mean, at least these kinds of shootings are a function of mental health, and I don't see the will to do a lot about that these days either.
No, and I think you're absolutely right, and I would love more money allocated for mental health, and there were warning signs that were ignored, but on the other hand, when mental health is raised every time there's a shooting, it's usually done to deflect attention from the issue of firearms. The two are not mutually exclusive. We need to take care of both.
That's Tom Mikaitis at DePaul. Nice to talk to you today, Tom.
You too. Have a nice day.